James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I'll tell you where to go when we get there. The theme for 2020 is faith works. You say that with me? Faith works. Now, there's a bunch of ways you can say that. You can emphasize faith and say that faith works. Or you can emphasize works and say faith has to work. And both are true. Both are absolutely true. Last year, we spent all year reading through the Bible. We read and we read and we read. And some of us even made it all the way through, cover to cover. Some battled a little bit, but that's okay. We were moving and we were reading. But here's the thing. We can read every single day, and it doesn't matter if we don't do what it says. Amen? What good is it? It's just another book if we don't actually do what the Word of God says. Now, we're turning the calendar of the new year, and we have an opportunity, as we always do when the calendar dates flip, to start again. How many think that way? New year, new start. Yeah? Okay, we all do pretty much, right? Try it again. Stop doing some things we were doing before. Maybe start some new habits that we want to start. And the word resolution always comes up. What's your New Year's resolution? Well, I wanted to drill those words down in our minds a little bit. A resolution is a firm decision. Where was I? Resolution. Okay. A firm decision to do something or not to do something, to be resolute. A firm decision. How many have ever made a resolution, but it was like a noodle decision? It wasn't really all that firm. You're like, oh, I'd like to do this, but you didn't do anything about it. Oh, this would be great. I think I'll resolve to do it, but you didn't resolve. It wasn't a firm decision to be resolute. Resolute means to be purposeful, unwavering, determined. I wonder if we would keep more of our resolutions if we really live the definition of that word, to be unwavering, determined, with a purpose. I want to change. I want to be different, or I want my world around me to change, and I'm determined to do something about it. I'm going to put my action where my mouth is, and I'm actually going to be a different person in 2020. Now, we always feel that. Let's think, what are some of the resolutions that you've made? Or what would you think are some of the most popular resolutions? Let's just banter a little bit. Okay, lose weight, exercise more. Okay, if we were playing Family Feud, I'd go, ding, 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 number one answer. That would be number one. Exercise more, lose weight. What are some others? That's it. Huh? That's all we want to do. We want to get skinnier. Okay, read the Word every day. Okay, that's a good Christian resolution. And we should do that. It's great. Okay, budget, manage money better, or make more money. How many would like to resolve with purpose, I'm going to make more money? Yeah, well, maybe spend less and you'd have more, right? Okay, what else? Get up earlier. Get up earlier? Why in the world would you want to do that? I resolve to sleep in later every day. No, what do you mean, Kathy? Ah, okay. So you've gotten lazy is what you're trying to say in retirement. Okay, I get this. No, but okay. Get more life out of your day, right? We get a little lazy and sometimes get up earlier, start it, get going. Okay. Yeah, David, you're just killing me right there. You got to get your word in. Come on, buddy. What's that? You resolve to go to school? I'm sure your parents are thrilled with that idea. Praise God. My son is going to go to school every day. We finally got through to him. Here are some. This is just a top 10 list found on the web. Exercise more, lose weight. Number one. Number two, be a nicer person. I resolved to be nice. I know we didn't have to make that resolution because we're already there. Save more money was there. Learn something new. That's kind of cool. This year, I'm going to learn something new. Doesn't have to be like learn a second language or anything, but I want to develop. I want to grow and go further. Do more reading. Robin mentioned the scriptures, but reading, period. Okay, do that more. Another one said, get a new career. Bold move. But if you're there and need to make a change, okay. As opposed to Kathy's statement, one was sleep more. But I think they mean go to bed earlier. That's what they probably meant. And instead of staying up late and messing around. Meet new people, make new friends. Good one. And number 10, and remember, these weren't necessarily Christians, but drink less. I'm going to drink less, and What do you think the number one broken one is? Yeah, number one, lose weight and you know, yeah, of course. That was the number one broken. Well, we break them. Some of us break them immediately. Some of us break them over time. But if we're not resolute, if we're not purposeful, unwavering in our determination, that doesn't mean you won't stumble. But why do we expect real change to happen when we don't really resolve to make that change? In the blank in your notes, how have you resolved to live differently in 2020? How have you resolved? I won't say I've stated it in a, my New Year's resolution is, but I've been convicted by the Lord to be a different person, that I have a lot of people in my life who don't yet know Jesus. And sadly, I don't think I've been as intentional about bringing them into my life, spending time with them in order to bring Jesus to them. That we're, there's kindness, there's goodness, there's no compromising, but you know, what good is being nice as I escort them right to the gate of hell? And so I've been convicted to be determined that I'm going to pray for those people more often. I'm going to invite them into my life more often for the opportunity then to share Christ more readily. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some of those folks that maybe I thought would never turn to Jesus be different in 2020. And if not, at least I can say to the Lord with all honesty, God, I obeyed you, and it's up to your spirit to do what I cannot do. How are you determined? How are you resolved to live different in 2020? It's an important question because it's a gospel question. In James, you've already turned there, hopefully, verse 22 to 25. Let's read this together. James chapter 1, 22 to 25. Let's read it. Do not merely listen to the word, everybody. Okay, join in with me. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That's a faith works verse, amen? That's faith works right there. I'm not just going to listen, I'm going to do. Now, a few years ago, and maybe this doesn't relate to you at all, it relates to me because I remember hearing it a lot. And that was, there was this movement of, we're not human doings, we're human beings. And there's all this doing, and it's so religious, and it's do this, and do this, and don't do that, don't do that. And I understood where the people were coming from, but it was a pendulum swing from action over to just be. Let's just hang out. Let's just be together, and we'll sing Kumbaya, and we'll just do whatever we do, and God somehow miraculously will weave his gospel into somebody's heart. And it's just what, it's what we do. We swing. We're doing. Now it's being. And there's a balance there. And we need to ramp up, in my opinion at least, in our world and even for us, the doing part. I know I do. When I look at the scripture and I see some of the things there, even the verse that Ethan read this morning about clothing the naked and visiting the poor, are giving to the poor and visiting the prisoner and things like that. There are words in the Bible that sometimes I find myself not practicing. And we need to be people of action that give a verification to our faith. So let's look at four principles here in this passage. Number one, we don't have a hearing problem. We have a doing problem. We don't have a hearing problem. We have a doing problem. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are ample opportunities to hear. We have more opportunities to hear today than ever before. We have Sunday morning. We have groups in common. There are podcasts. There are YouTube churches. There are church websites. There's TV. There's radio. There's books. There's conferences. There's worship music. There's magazines. We've got more opportunities to hear than we've ever had opportunities before to hear. Even people in unchurched countries in the nation, because of the internet, they can go and privately look at all the church they want and get all the gospel they want. Now, of course, there still are some unreached people. I'm not saying we've saturated the globe yet. There's a lot of work to do. But there's some awesome ministries that do radio, and they produce radio from a Christian nation and pump it in to the ungodly nations or the pagan nations. And there's more opportunity today to hear than ever before. The question is that, especially in the States with all of our opportunities, how come the church numerically is in decline? We've got not a hearing problem. We have a doing problem. And that we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear. And sometimes we hear so much, it just becomes white noise in our mind. Oh, heard it before. Click, change the channel. Oh, I heard that verse, heard that sermon, heard that. Oh, yeah, change the channel. And it gets lost in all the hearing that we have. Well, the Bible says that we ought to look differently. Number two, it says hearing but not doing is called self-deception. Now, we may not have taken this that seriously in our lives. Well, I wouldn't have called myself that. I wouldn't have called myself self-deceived because I've heard, but maybe I haven't done, you know, all that I could, or, you know, I'm busy after all, and, you know, I got a lot of things going on, and, you know, there's a lot of demands on my time. And well, God just simply says, don't merely be a hearer, but be a doer. And if we're only a hearer and not a doer, that we're self-deceived. And he gives an illustration of this. He says it's like looking in a mirror and looking at yourself, but then leaving the mirror and walking away and immediately forgetting what you look like. Deception follows the one who doesn't do. Blessing follows the one who does. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us a little idea. That's the famous love chapter. And it says at the end of that chapter, now we look into a glass dimly, but then face to face. And that phrase is a reference on what it was like in the first century to look in a mirror. Now, my mirror is nice and clean. It's crystal clear. I can look at it. But in old times, it was more of a piece of metal, not glass. And it was kind of difficult. And so a person, in order to see, they had to get really, really close. And they had to look at themselves. And how many really get close and look at the mirror and don't like what you see? All of us, right? And I can look at this thing and go, oh my gosh, God, what have you done? Those wrinkles, they're killing me right now. I didn't know they were that deep. Where did that blemish come from? Nobody told me I had that thing on my tooth. Where did that zit come on my nose like that? And you see all the blemishes, and then you go, look away, turn away and go, I look awesome. I'm the best. I'm ready to go. Man, I've never looked better. Wait, what about what you just saw? And that's a self-deception. I know what I saw, and maybe I didn't like everything I saw, and maybe I saw changes that needed to be made, but then I walk away and go, I don't need to change. I don't need to change at all. This is great. Life is good. I'm on target. I'm doing it. I'm God, me and you, we're going. This is awesome. That's what he's talking about. That we wouldn't look in the mirror and see need for change on a physical level. We would probably do something about it. We'd make some decisions to change some things. Or if we had mud on our face, we'd go, oh, give me the cloth. And we'd wipe our face. We'd clean ourselves off. Or we'd brush our teeth. Or we would do something because of what we saw in the mirror. Otherwise, we turn away and we go, no, I look beautiful with the mud on our face and with the stuff on our teeth. And God says, we do that spiritually. We look into the Word of God and we see the words and we look at ourselves in there, and then we close it and we go, I'm good. I got everything going. No problem. Don't need to change. Don't need to make any adjustments. I'm good. And God calls that self-deception. That we think turning away from the mirror, we look better than we actually do. Or our spirit is better than it actually is. Or our lifestyle is better than it actually is. And he says, that's self-deception. And we can't live like that. There's no blessing there. It's a life of fruitlessness. And we can change that. Amen? We have that opportunity. We can change it. We don't have to live that way any longer. And God tells us how we do that. Number three, our mandate is to look intently into the Word of God and obey continually the Word, when we open it and we look at it every day and we hear those verses that says, love your neighbor as yourself, and we begin to say, I've got neighbors. I've got neighbors and I can love them better. And then the wheels start rolling. How can I do that? We start making some new decisions. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. See, I've got people in my life that need to hear the gospel. I can do that. Talks about don't let any unclean thing come out of your mouth. Oh boy, sometimes I do that. But I need to change that, obviously, because God says don't let that happen. And then on and on and on. We can go, you know, spend all day talking about what's in the Word of God and looking intently at it. And when we look intently, seeing ourselves in the Word of God, we see, oh, that's what I need to change. But instead of turning away and forgetting and thinking, no, I'm good. I go to church. I'm serving. I'm in groups. I got it all. I'm good. God says, are you? Or have you turned away and been self-deceived? Continually looking into the law that gives freedom. I love that phrase, the law that gives freedom, in that verse. Because remember, James' context of what the Word of God is all Old Testament. I'm not sure if you think about that when you read the Old Testament, when we just did last year, you went, oh man, Leviticus and Numbers, how can that give freedom? Or the prophets that I don't understand, how could that give freedom? Oh, good. And James is saying, that's the Bible he was referring to. He didn't have the New Testament yet. The Word of God gives freedom because there are no restrictions on that. You can be just gluttonously loving. You can be gluttonously kind. You can do the things of the Word of God without any limits. That's what God's Word is trying to transform us into being, as those kind of people. Looking into the Word of God intently and continually obeying it. And those people, it says, if you do what it says, if you look at God's Word and do it, you will be blessed. How many want a blessing in 2020? I do. I want to be blessed. I want my life to be such that God can bless it. I don't want God, because He's a good Father, to look at me and say, well, I'd really love to bless you, but I can't really bless a rebellious child. We never did that to our kids. If you've been disobedient, you don't get the blessing. Once you are trustworthy and you've been honoring of your parents, then I can bless you, lest I reinforce bad behavior. And God's the same way. Now, I'm not saying right now that if you're going through a trial, it must be because you've sinned and God's mad at you. Okay, that's not always the case. And we know that from Scripture, that God takes us through the valleys sometimes in order to strengthen us. But we ought always to keep in mind that when we obey Him, God is a giver and He's a blesser. So let's think about these a minute. Let's walk through them. We don't have a hearing problem. We have a doing problem. Scrutinize your life right now. Have you heard a lot, but you know, I don't know, you know, whether or not you've been a doer or a hearer only. And if that's the case, realize that there's a self-deception going on, that we can't just go, I'm good. When we've looked in the mirror of the Word of God and we've realized, I think I've fallen short. And we need to start doing the Word of God, because we're not to be hearers only. Realizing that we pour into the Word and look at it intently and continually obey. And know that there's a blessing that follows. Ultimately, of course, as we spent the last 2 weeks of the year, there's the blessing of eternity. If that doesn't motivate us, I'm not sure what else on this earth can. But the blessing of God's eternal life. Well, with all that in mind as a backdrop, let's look at some ways that maybe this year at Abundant Life that we can make some resolutions. These are just ideas. These are not God's Word necessarily. This is what God is saying. This is what you should do. They're just ways to help us, because sometimes we look and we go, I don't know where to start. I'm not even really sure where to go. So let's just go back to our vision, our mission, our markers, and our behaviors, and see how that can help us to maybe make some resolve this year, some firm decisions to be purposeful and unwavering, determined to be different people in 2020. Our vision statement is everything for the glory of God. And that's almost literally on every page of the Bible. I've started an exercise where I have a purple pencil. And every time I see the word glory or glorified or glorious, I kind of highlight it with purple. And almost every page of my Bible has a marking on it. God's all about receiving glory. What if we really decided to live that way? How would your life be different if you really, really took that to heart, you stamped it on your mind, you etched it, and you said, this year, I'm going to make the attempt to give glory to God in everything I do. How might that change what you do? How might that encourage you to do something different? I want to bring Him glory. Our mission statement is how we want to accomplish giving God glory, is we are a church family devoted to making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's my personal resolution this year, is that I've not been, I don't think, a person who's been that intentional. And I need to ramp that up because there are people in my life that don't know Jesus. And what if today was their last day? I don't want to wear that. I don't want to have that on my conscience saying, I never, ever had the conversation. I want to live with the peace of my mind that I did everything I could and prayerfully did battle for my friends that don't know Christ. How might that change your life? If we just were in the consistent lifestyle with our own abundant life vision and mission. Well, we have some markers. Those markers, we know them. We can say them. What are our markers? First is identity. The second one is family. The third one is purpose. The last one is sacrifice. What if we really live them? That's what we've decided are the markers, the landmarks of obeying the mission and the vision of God. The first is identity. When we come to Christ, we have a new identity. That identity means we start to pour into the Word of God and we start to read. Maybe you're at maybe the beginner levels. And the beginner levels would be this year. Maybe I didn't do all that great in the Bible First lifestyle year. I know we were supposed to, but I lagged. I struggled. I didn't quite get it. Well, maybe let's start again. Pick it up again. And this year, let's be determined. Let's be resolved and purposeful that we're going to read more this year than we did in the previous year. Maybe you've already got that habit and you're a little bit beyond the beginner level. How are you meditating on the Word of God or memorizing the Word of God? Have you begun the task of really putting the Word of God in your mind? The book of Psalms says, I have hidden His Word in my heart that I might not sin. Have you made the attempt to actually ingest and meditate and memorize big chunks of the Scriptures? How can we expect to really wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, with effectiveness when we're not even really sure where the chapters and verses are? So that's an identity issue that you might try. Getting into the Word of God, maybe committing more to memory. Number two is our family marker. We do it. We do this new life together. What about our family? What if this year you made the decision that you're going to get into a group in common? That's really, in my opinion, where a lot of growth happens. Some growth happens here, and this is good, but there's always questions. There's always, oh, I didn't get that. There's always, oh, but what about? And when you are in a group with people and really get to talk, really get to share your heart, really build trust, that growth happens in a wonderful way. For those that are in group in common, or groups in common, how many would say, what Pastor just said is absolutely right? Raise your hand. Okay, all over the place. These are folks that are in it. Okay, so if you're not right now, maybe that's a ground level thing. Just start. In 3 weeks is our new Rally Sunday. New groups will be coming out. And you can step into one. Does it take time? Yes. Does it take effort? Yes. Do you have to arrange your schedule? Yes. But it's one of the most valuable things you can do. It's to grow yourself, develop yourself. Maybe for those that are in a group in common, maybe it's time for you to step up and lead one. Maybe it's your turn now to not just be a follower, but maybe be a leader. And help other people come to know Christ. And that doesn't mean you got to know the Bible like a Bible expert. We can help you and train you. It just means you need to be willing to say, I'm going to go. Want to come with me? That's family life. Number three is our marker of purpose. Our marker of purpose. The purpose that we do is reach others for the gospel of Christ. What if right now, and we started this last week at the end of our service, but let's continue it on. What if you could write down the names of five people and pray for them and invite them into your life in order to bring the gospel to them? Five people. And I say five because if you focus on one and that person's hard to get to or resists the gospel, then you kind of got to start from scratch. Let's just start with a little bit bigger pool and then begin to pray for them. Start with three if five's too many. Do two if three's too many. But begin to pray intentionally for people who don't know Christ. Remember when you met Jesus? Let me ask you this. How many came to Christ because of a friend in your life? Okay? Quite a lot of you. You had a friend, and that friend loved you enough to tell you the truth about Jesus. I think that's an awesome resolution. Begin to pray for them. Now, don't just pray for them. Begin to invite them in. Invite them into your life. Say, hey, you want to go to lunch? You want to go to dinner? We're going to do this. You want to come with us? I got an extra ticket. You want to come? And begin to build that relationship. Build it deeper. Because in today's world, it's hard just to kind of cold call somebody. People are wary. They're very wary. When you get close to someone, they begin to trust you. You can say, you know, this is good what we have. Can I talk to you about something that's really meaningful to me? You can begin to open up the gospel of Jesus to those people. Lastly, sacrifice. Sacrifice. When we talk about sacrifice, we talk about time, but a lot of people think about their money. About their money. And that's not the only sacrifice. I said, this is just examples. There's lots of ways that you can give and lots of ways to spend your time. But God, Jesus said this, where your treasure is, your heart is. And so this is a good place to start because you can really identify where your heart is by how you spend your finances. What if you begin to be faithful in the tithe? Or you begin to make a missions pledge? That's coming up in February. What if you went even further than that, not to do with money, but when the missions trips come around, and we've not yet announced them, but when they come around, that you actually go? How many have had their lives changed by a missions trip? Yeah, a lot of people. Me too. Me too. Your life changes when you give yourself that way to other people. Maybe those are ways that you can begin to resolve to be different this year. To not just be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer. And that's just examples. You can choose your own. But we have behaviors as well. I know there's a lot in here. To reach out first is one of our behaviors. Some of you, do you still have your little behavior sticker on the back of your phone? I do, and I refer to that often. If you don't have one, you can grab one from the Welcome Center. They've got these little stickers, and they have all of our four behaviors on them. These are, how do we behave moment to moment, day to day? One is reach out first. How about an easy resolution? Each Sunday, I'm going to make a point to introduce myself to a new person, and that's, what a great resolve. How much more friendly would our church be if everybody's doing that? Just finding someone, even if they're not new to the church, they're new to you. As I look out at the group right now, there's a few of that have been attending a bit, and I've been writing down your names. I'm not a stalker or anything. I'm your pastor. But so I got to know who the people are. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know some of you better this year and having some lunches with you and sitting down, my wife and I, and enjoying your company. Maybe each month outside the church, you meet a coworker and take that coworker to lunch. Reach out first. Make the call. Next one. Encourage someone. Once a week, encourage someone with a call or a note or a gift. How long does it take just to go buy some cards that say, thinking about you, and then once a week you take 10 minutes, you write the envelope out, you write, hey, you know, I was just thinking about you, I just want you to know that you're important to me. How many would enjoy getting a card like that? We all would, right? Why don't we be those people who encourage others? I think that's what Jesus would do. Well, exactly, that's what he did. He didn't write a note necessarily, well, except for the Bible, of course, really big note. But when he was on this world, he was encouraging all the time. All the time. It's little things that make a difference. The third one, our behaviors. Serve someone. Maybe once a month, perform a random act of kindness, or join a ministry, or join a help group outside the church. How cool if Abundant Life people were not just involved in such an awesome way as you are now, but I'm hearing stories about how you're involved in other help groups around our city. And making a change by planting the seeds of love everywhere. How awesome would that be as we serve and we give to people? Last one, express joy. It could be as simple as, have you ever found when you smile at somebody that you don't know, they look at you like you're weird? Even smiling at somebody these days gives the impression that, must be a pervert, you're smiling at me. So, you know, it's just weird. But you know, when you are more warm as a person, when you say thank you more. When I'm at a restaurant, the first thing I do is look at my server's name tag or the host, and I call them by name throughout, and there's an immediate rapport when you just say, hey, thanks, Michael, appreciate it. And he goes, oh, you're welcome. Like he didn't expect to have someone actually address him as a person. What if we just started treating people that way? And it doesn't take a lot, and we just live with more joy in our life. Now, this is just a big of ideas and thoughts as we start to resolve and actually do instead of being hearers only. But let's look at some reasons why we break our resolutions. And this will help you maybe be more purposeful and determined and unwavering. Number one, we make too many. We make too many of them. So let's ratchet it up. Out of all the stuff we just looked at, and if you've looked into the mirror of your life and you say, oh man, I got to change about 30 things in my life this year because I'm just, don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. Don't bite off more. Just pick a couple. Say, this year, I resolve. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you're a thief and you want to stop, you know, cussing, say, well, I'm going to still be a thief, but I'm, you know, I'll work on the cussing part. Okay, we get it, right? We're not just, but let's just, don't take so many. Take one or two, say, this is the year. I'm going to make this change. And as you do, you find out how amazing it is, how your life transforms over time. Number two is that we're too vague. Oh, I'm gonna lose weight. Well, how are you gonna do that? Oh, I'm just gonna do it. It's just gonna happen automatically. And I'm not gonna stop drinking soda. I'm not gonna stop pounding the carbs. I'm not gonna stop, 4,000 calories, a meal. And it'll happen because, I made a resolution. Now, how are you gonna do it? You gotta put a plan together, and there's going to be lifestyle change. Okay, it's too vague. What kind of exercise are you going to do? How are you going to change your eating? How are you going to narrow your port? Whatever it is. With God, what exactly are you going to do? And what is your plan to do it? Think about that. Number three, our intentions are shallow. Our intentions are shallow. The vagueness of our resolution shows up in our intentions. The reason it's vague is because we're really not that serious about it anyway. We'd like to do it. It'd be great. We'd like to get into, a new size if weight loss is our thing or if exercise is our thing. But they're too shallow. What one thing could you change that would significantly alter your life or the lives of others? That's a bit more intentional, or that's a bit more weighty. Think about the things that would really, really make a difference. Now, maybe that would push down, our cosmetic physical things, and it would raise up some things that are, maybe more important. Not to say that our bodies aren't more important, but what would significantly change your life? Focus on that and then eliminate the vagueness by how you're going to do it and resolve. Number four, practical things. The reason why we break them is you don't write down a plan. Write it down. Write it down. This is what I intend to do with God's help. This is how I'm going to do it. These are the things I'm going to change. That's a whole different deal, isn't it? Than just say, oh yeah, I'd like to. And then by January 15th, you can't even remember. Write it down. And number five, tell somebody. Tell somebody. When there's accountability, there's that added bit of pressure. That's a good thing when somebody asks you, say, how's that thing going? Oh, you remembered. I was hoping you'd forgotten. And we've all had that awkwardness when somebody reminds us of what we said we would do. And I've been there many times. Write it down. Tell somebody. Guys, don't you think the world needs a church that is people who do and not just hear? I wonder, with all of the Christians in the South Bay, now it's not a majority by any means, it's actually a very small percentage, but what if all the Christians in the South Bay actually did the gospel? Rather than just went to church, I got to think that our valley would start to look different. Jesus started with only 12. If he changed the world starting with 12, we've got a massive head start. How can we be different? Scripture says in James later on, it says, faith without works is dead in James 2:26. That we can say we have faith all we want, but if there's not the doing, then our faith is useless. Let's be doers in 2020. Now notice I didn't say let's be religious in 2020. Because we could easily slip into that. Here's what the truth is. Because of what Jesus did for me, because he gave his life, because he came from heaven to earth, became God with us, he sacrificed heaven to live here for a short while. And he went to a cross, a most brutal death at the hands of his creation. And he did that for me. I can work. I can do as a result of that. And that's the difference between religion and relationship. It's why we do what we do. We're not getting God in a good mood, buttering him up so that he'll bless us. It's in response to what he's already done. And this first Sunday of the year, let there be no other motivation than the blood of Jesus, his scarred brow, his nail-pierced hands and feet, his spear-pierced side, how he hung there and cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? As he took our sin on himself and he bore it. Aren't you glad our God is a God of action? Aren't you glad our God was not just a hearer only, sitting up in heaven and hearing the cries of the people on earth and going, oh, they seem like they're upset. Bummer. Seems like they could really need a hand. Hope they find one. No, God is a God of action. And God left heaven. And God came to earth. And God lived a sinless life. And God went to the cross. And God resurrected from the dead. And God sent the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit indwells us so that we might be people of action as he has been. That's what we're called to do. Amen? Because faith works. Faith works. I'd like to invite our ushers forward. We're going to celebrate the communion together to remember the action of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The action that called him from heaven to earth. The action that saved our souls. The action that we're so thankful for. Ushers, go ahead and begin to serve, folks. It's fine. As you take your bread and as you take your cup, hold it, and we'll all take it together. But as you hold it, ask yourself the questions. Do I have a hearing problem or is it a doing problem? Am I self-deceived because I've looked often into the mirror of the Word of God and turned away and not done anything with it? I need to look intently into God's Word, the Word that gives freedom. I might change. And maybe think through how to change. How am I going to change? I'm going to take these notes home this afternoon and sit down in prayer. Begin to think through how this year might be different. You know what? When we all decide that, when we all resolve that, oh man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in 2020. As God's people are unleashed, the Holy Spirit's power in action. Let's meditate on that. The rest are served. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat with his disciples and shared a meal together, and he took a piece of bread and he broke it. And he passed it around. He said, take this, eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Our Lord Jesus is a God of action. He knew what was ahead of him. He knew how difficult it would be. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And he went to the cross. He didn't waver. He didn't swerve. He didn't make excuses. He's a God of action. And we hold in our hand an emblem, a representative of that action. I'm so thankful. Because I could not save myself, that our God did the work to save me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your broken body. You bore the penalty that we deserve to bear. And yet you went to the cross willingly to bear our sin. God, I pray that we would follow in your steps and be people of action, because there's a dying world out there. Every single day, there are people who pass into eternity and they don't know you. God, let not us be people who could have thrown up the roadblock and kept them from careening off that and into a dark eternity. Lord, let us be the people who stand in the way, that less people will go into eternal judgment from our valley than currently do. Thank you for your broken body, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread. On that same night, Jesus took the cup, passed it to his disciples. He says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink it whenever you remember me." The new covenant is a once and for all covenant. The former covenant was a repetitive sacrifice of animals to wash away the guilt of our sin. But it couldn't touch the inner part of us. It couldn't cleanse the conscience. It couldn't cleanse the motives. It couldn't truly cleanse the heart. And Jesus said, "This is my new covenant." It will do that work. It will cleanse your heart. It will cleanse your conscience. This is the once and for all cleansing. I'm so glad that our Lord Jesus was a God of action, that he went to the cross and shed his blood. Not fearful, not worried, but resolved. So he cried out, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." And he went and he spilled his blood for us. Let's be people who will follow in his steps. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood. God, I'm appalled at myself often when I realize what you did for me and then I still selfishly turn away. God, this blood forgives that. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive me of all those times. And this year, we want to resolve in 2020 to be people who will follow in your steps, to forgive others, to give grace to others, to bring mercy to others, to bring truth to others, as you did for us with your shed blood. We give you the glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Let's take the cup together. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I invite you to take your notes home with you today. Do some time thinking about them. If you want to talk it over with your spouse, that'd be a good thing to do too. But mainly talk it over with God. Let's make some decisions this year how we might resolve to significantly be different people this year.